You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 69. Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm so happy that you are here. Today we're going to be talking about why bright students fail and what parents can do to prevent it. So if you've got a bright and very academically able child, you might be thinking that school and exams are going to be plain sailing. After all, they've got a natural talent for this stuff, so what could possibly go wrong? Well, in the time that I've worked as an academic coach, it's actually been some of the brightest students that I've worked with who have been most difficult to help. And the trouble is, they come to me when the problems are so entrenched that it's virtually impossible for me to help them. So in today's podcast episode, I'm going to explain why these students are almost impossible to help, what I think leads to their problems, and how you can prevent it from happening to your child. So why do bright students fail? When you realise that your child is very bright and academically able, it can feel a bit like a gift from God. Not that every child isn't a gift from God, you know, every child is a gift from God. And I know that particularly parents of children with learning differences and special educational needs often say, you know, no matter how hard it is parenting them, they just wouldn't change them for the world. And it's like they've been sent from God to kind of teach them something in their lives. But when you know that you've got a child who is very academically able, it's really quite special to realise that they are, particularly if you place a lot of value on education. So as a parent, it's very easy to slip into a pattern of repeatedly telling your child how clever and intelligent they are, if that's what you think they are, simply because they find things easy. So I remember when my daughter was first born, on the first morning she was alive, I was in the hospital with her on my own, and my husband and mum, they were at my house, and they just kind of left us in peace for that first morning and got over all that had gone before the night and two nights before. And I just held my daughter in my arms and looked into her wide awake eyes for about 3 hours. And she literally just stared into my eyes for 3 hours. I sat with my knees propped up and her lying on my knees, looking straight into my eyes, and she literally looked at me for 3 hours, which is not typical behaviour for a newborn at all. And it was in that moment, that morning, that I realised that there was something special about her ability to concentrate and her huge capacity for absorbing information. That morning, it was like she was just looking at me and just taking me in, sussing me out, and then once she'd done that, she could move on to something else. So over the following years, she kept on showing us that she has this natural academic ability. I realised around the time she turned 2 that she could read numbers. One day I was just reading her a number book, a story book, before she went to sleep, and she pointed at one of the numbers before I said what it was, I can't remember which number it was, and I was like, that's weird, is that a coincidence? And then so I turned the page and I said, what's that one? And she told me, and I turned back in the book and said, what's that one? And she told me what it was, and I was like, how on earth does this child know how to read these numbers? Because I haven't actively tried to teach her. But then by the time she was about 2.5, she could recognize all her letters. And then just before she started school, my sister, who at the time was a primary school teacher, took about 5 minutes to show her how to blend letters. And that was it. You know, it just took 5 minutes for her to understand how to blend the sounds so that she could read, and that there was no holding her back from reading after that. And, you know, that's just from her early life, and it's a pattern that continues, and I see things like that happening every single week as she gets older. And because of this, when she was little, I used to tell her how clever and bright she was. But that was before I learned about mindset and how critical it is in education. The problem is with giving your child praise for something that you and they come to see as an intrinsic part of their character, their intelligence, is their lack of effort. So if they're being praised for something that just comes completely naturally to them, that they don't have to expend any effort. And this means that your child comes to think that it's important to the people around them that they're bright, but also by omission, like by the fact that they're not praised for effort, they're praised for their quick intelligence that doesn't require any effort, that they're perceived to achieve a lot with little effort, and therefore they think that low effort intelligence is the thing that people value them for. And this is what the psychologist Carol Dweck, author of Mindset, would call a fixed mindset. If I kept telling my daughter that she was clever and intelligent, I realised, she was going to develop the idea that intelligence is a fixed part of who she is that cannot be reduced through lack of effort or improved through greater effort. And one day, this was going to lead us to trouble. So I changed. I stopped praising her for being intelligent and started praising her for her effort in everything that she did. So why are some bright students impossible to help? Many bright children will get by without exerting much effort for many years. They may even get through their GCSEs by hardly lifting a finger. But at some point in their lives, they will encounter a challenge that they can't get through on their native wit alone. I had one client who thrived academically until she was in year 12. She even got an A star in her AS level maths. But something happened after that. The work got too hard, she was used to not putting the work in and therefore didn't have the necessary personal resources or skills to deal with this new level of difficulty. From that point onwards in her education, she really struggled. I worked with her throughout her second year at university, and by this time, her mindset was so entrenched that it was virtually impossible to shift it. I did manage to get her through the second year, but when she stopped having my support in the third year, her work rate regressed again, and so did her achievement, which was a really sad thing for me to hear about. I've recently come across another student who was told he was very intelligent throughout his life. However, he received disappointing results at GCSE, and from there, his mental health started to suffer and his grades plummeted. It's as if his identity was tied up with getting excellent grades, and when he didn't achieve what was expected of him, his whole sense of who he is fell apart. Neither of these students have developed some of what Martin Griffin, author of multiple books about student mindset, calls the non-cognitive skills essential for students' success. So these non-cognitive skills include the organisation of time and resources, time management, resilience, which is the ability to pick yourself back up when something goes wrong, an understanding of their own learning preferences, because they never had to think about it or analyse it because everything's just come so easily to them in the past, and experience of strategizing and prioritizing because everything has always been easy until now, so they've never had to make difficult choices about how to prioritize. They hadn't developed these skills because they had never needed them before. This is unlike students who are less academically able. These students will have been disappointed by results many a time, but picked themselves up and kept on trying. They will have had to work hard for what they've achieved and therefore learned how to manage their time effectively and prioritised out of necessity. So in many ways, it's a blessing to have a child who finds things, who doesn't just pick things up like that. You know, they have to put some kind of effort into it all the way along, because that will teach them that effort pays off. Whereas these very, very bright students, they never learn the importance of effort and actually how to expend effort and use it effectively. So with all this in mind, how do we prevent bright students from failing? If you've got a bright child and listening to this, you've realised that you've fallen into the trap of reinforcing their intelligence, you're probably desperate to know what you need to do to stop your child from failing in the future. The answer is to try to change your child's mindset from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. A growth mindset is the opposite of a fixed mindset. It's the belief that you can improve any achievement through effort applied in the right way. A student with a growth mindset will willingly work hard. They will embrace and enjoy new challenges, and they will actively seek out difficulty. On the other hand, a student with a fixed mindset won't even try if something's hard, because in their eyes, it's better not to try and fail than to try and fail, because this brings their intelligence into question. So how do you do this? How do you help your child to develop a growth mindset? First thing is that you stop telling your child that they're clever, intelligent, or bright. The second thing is that you start praising them when they do put some effort into something. Thirdly, you link effort to achievement. For example, with my own daughter, whenever she gets a good mark, I always say something like, "That's wonderful, and it's all down to the hard work you put into preparing for that." I never let a chance slip by to link achievement to effort. Finally, and most importantly, you tell your child that you love them and let them know that that love is unconditional. If your child thinks that you love them because they are effortlessly bright, they will be petrified of failing, because that would mean that your love could be withdrawn. This will stop them from attempting new and difficult things in the fear that they will fail and disappoint you. As one mum said in a message after a recent parents group coaching call for the Extraordinaries Club, "I just have to remind myself a lot that my son is 15 and the exam results won't define him. He should try his best and feel happy for himself. We can only put everything in place and then it's their shout. My daughter was killed in an accident 4 years ago. She was 14. We want our son to do well, but he's here and that's what matters." If that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, then nothing will. The one thing I would quibble though with what this mum said is that I do think that exam results define you in a way. I wrote about this for the Independent newspaper, well, it's online now, but you know what I mean, a couple of years ago, and received a lot of flack for what I said. But what defines you, in my mind, about exam results is the way you implement those non-cognitive skills of resilience, organisation, time management and resourcefulness to achieve them. So even the brightest students who don't use those skills don't achieve their best. And that's why I think exams are a measure of character as much as they are of academic ability. So go away and look into your child's eyes today and tell them that you love them. If they ask you why, just say, "Because you're you." When your child knows that you love them unconditionally and you admire the effort they put into their endeavours, you will set them free to achieve anything they want, no matter how hard it might be. So if you've listened to this episode and you're like, "Uh-oh, I think I might have been going down the wrong track and I can see some of these problems starting to emerge," and you feel like you need a bit of help in moving your child further towards having a growth mindset, then I strongly advise you to work through the motivation and mindset modules inside the Extraordinaries Club. There are parents' versions of both of these modules, and they get you to think deeply about some of the things that might be causing you to say things that inadvertently, like completely, you're absolutely not trying to have the wrong effect, but just because you haven't thought about it before or haven't heard about it before, you know, you might have just gone down the wrong path. So these modules will help you to explore what's going on in your own head and therefore what's coming out of your own mouth and what you can do to kind of help your child get back on track with a growth mindset set. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can find out all about the Extraordinaries Club at theextraordinariesclub.com. Or if you've got questions about joining, you can email me at lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. The important thing is starting to change your child's mindset before they start to fail. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. and goodbye.